pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
You are about to listen to I Told You So, the world's greatest relationship podcast, hosted by Tiffany and Jeff, two people in the healthiest relationship of all time.
Join our power couple as we explore the ups and downs of love, offering you the tools you need to navigate the relationship scene with charm, humor, and grace.
Welcome to I Told You So, where love is our business.
And laughter is our secret weapon.
Good morning.
Oh, hi. Good morning.
I'm sorry. I started.
I wasn't ready.
Oh, I'm sorry. You want to take a pause?
No, I'm good.
Oh, okay. Hi.
Hi.
It's been a minute.
I know.
Since we've recorded, but...
We've had good intentions to record, and we always talk about it, but yeah.
We've been busy being poor.
We really have been busy doing that.
Yeah, which is what we're going to talk about today.
Oh, good.
Yeah, no, everybody loves that. Talking about money, because money never has any negative, you know, connotations to a relationship.
Oh.
At all. Right?
I think individually, your relationship with money is like can be so complicated. Everyone's
Oh, sure.
relationship with money is like in different types of complicated. So
sure.
You put two people together, that's a lot.
Well, I mean, when you've taken a step back and you look at your own behavior with money,
mm-hmm.
mine is strange. You know, I have food triggers for dumb spending. A lot.
Sandwiches. Yeah.
Sandwiches and cheeseburgers. That was what I said, is that the reason I can't run for office is that I could easily be bribed with lunch.
Good.
Like, hey, will you listen to my bill? Of course not. How about some lunch?
Okay.
I'll hear you out. How about a nice lunch? I'll hear you out favorably. How about steak?
Yes.
We can chat. I mean, obviously not true, but... Still a thing.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't like spending money on things, especially considering how much things cost.
Mm-hmm.
I will go through Amazon and look at a thing that I want and be like, no, I'm not paying that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, I'll turn around and buy some dipshit piece of, you know, sci-fi memorabilia.
You would never.
And damn the cost. It's just my priorities are and have been now for several years, more than two decades, is get rent covered,
mm-hmm.
get utilities covered. If there's anything left over, that's my fun money. Now, as I am reaching old age.
Reaching.
And not reaching all that far anymore. I realized that my fun money should have been savings.
Oh, yeah. Savings, what is that? I don't know what that's like.
Because while right now I am struggling with severe unemployment, as are you.
Yes.
And no matter how many jobs I'm looking for, I can barely get interviews. And so far, all of them have been either written or video, a couple with AI.
Yeah.
Those were weird.
It is weird.
Yeah. It's the fact that I have no retirement
mm-hmm.
is spooky. So my philosophy was, well, I'll just work until I die. Turns out I can't find work, which was not part of the plan.
No, it's not.
No, and it's, I mean, and there's some certain frustrations with that. I mean, one, medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out of Adderall and I can't afford the doctor's office, so I can't go get more. It's very frustrating. It's very, very, not only debilitating, but depressing.
Yeah.
You know, and sleepy.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. You take away my amphetamines and I'm going to get a little yawn.
That is so true. It's hard to get moving in the morning.
And then once you do, it's hard to think.
Uh-huh.
Because my ADD brain just goes apeshit everywhere I go, every direction I turn. There's a bright, shiny object for me to get wrapped around. Neither here nor there. But yeah, there are a lot of challenges to being low income. And the truth is that a lot of the lessons that we're going to talk about today cover all incomes as far as that interpersonal relationship goes with you and your spouse. Right?
Yeah.
Now, you sometimes spend money in ways I find baffling.
Really?
I sometimes spend money in ways you find baffling.
I don't know that baffling is the right word. What do I baffle you with?
Parties.
Okay.
You love throwing a party, and you want every party that you throw for someone special to be something special.
Right.
And that's not... the thing is that they're not expensive. If I was working a regular advertising gig, I wouldn't blink twice.
Yeah.
I wouldn't blink twice. But your interpersonal relationship with your family and my family is so personal and so emotionally charged that you feel a driving need to knock their fucking socks off. And it is a beautiful thing. Trust me. There's no anger. Mm-hmm. I don't hold it personally. I'm not sitting here with a grudge. I'm saying, here's the thing you do I don't quite get.
Yeah.
And I mean, and it was coming up when I was doing mainly political work, and I'd get fired every November because the campaigns are over and nobody starts a campaign until June or July anyway, mm-hmm. most of the time. You know, I would go months trying to find a gig because my resume really looks like a job hop.
Yeah.
And so we would, because two of my kids had their birthdays within a month of one another, mm-hmm. We'd combine their parties to try and save money. Mm-hmm. Christmas was dollar store for years because you're well away from your last November paycheck by the time Christmas rolls around. Mm-hmm. You want the kids to feel good and feel special. So you do. You run over to the dollar store. But the problem is the kids grow up and they start to take that kind of stuff personally. Mm-hmm. You know, my oldest, when we were making better money after he grew up, found many personal slights from gifts that his two younger siblings got, mm-hmm. because we had a couple of bucks. We were still buying him better stuff, but he would remember 4 or 5 years earlier when he was cognizant of the fact that we were dollar store shopping all the time, getting shitty Christmas presents.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, with him, we were always competing with his biological family, mm-hmm. you know, not me. And they always could spend a couple hundred, $300 on him every Christmas. And we just couldn't. Right. We had about 20, $25 a kid to spend, barely, you know, and that was usually a lot of dumb work that I had to do to get there. So money can cause emotional pain, or the lack of money can cause emotional pain, or the way that you spend money can cause emotional pain. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't cause me emotional pain.
Maybe my wrapping paper does a little.
Not at all.
No?
Nope. No, I find your love of wrapping paper endearing, befuddling, but endearing.
That's fair.
Yeah, I'm the brown butcher paper wrapping paper guy. Throw a little electrical tape or some duct tape to hold it in place. As long as it's wrapped, it just should show you that I give a shit.
No, and I'm all about wrapping paper. I want like a themed with a birthday party. I want their own wrapping paper.
Yeah.
That's different for each birthday with a matching ribbon.
Well, that was a conversation we had a couple days ago when you were wrapping something up for one of the kids.
Yeah.
Is, can I use this? And I'm like, sure. You're like, but I already used it for someone else a year and a half ago.
It was a year and a half ago.
They'll know. I'm like, nobody knows. Nobody knows. You would know.
I would know.
And yeah. You remember, and you got a steel trap for that kind of shit. And I don't. I'm just like, what do we have available?
Yeah.
I have wrapped Christmas presents in grocery bags. You know, go to the store to buy whatever I can. And they're like, paper or plastic? I'm like, paper. I have presents to wrap.
Yeah. No, I get that. And I think I mean, at least I try to make the most of what I have.
Yeah.
If that's like putting a party together and pulling things from all over the house or, you know, whatever. But it is really hard when you don't have the money to do that or to even, you know, like add to it. It's really hard.
Yeah, and this is my problem, you know, is I know that your previous husbands have made more money than I have recently. And it drives me fucking nuts.
Really?
Yeah, it fuels feelings of inadequacy, irresponsibility, you know, not working has really affected my value to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And in turn has made me feel as though my value is less because I cannot provide at this time. So I do the tricky shit, you know. I do as much freelance work as I can, just to make a buck here and a buck there. It's not enough to cover everything, you know. I mean, and you know, like 2 weeks ago, my fucking unemployment ran out.
Yeah,
because apparently you only get 6 months, which I did not know.
Mm.
I've been working in the system since the fucking 80s. And they're like, you can have a little.
Just a little.
Just a little. Not enough.
No, it's not enough.
No. And that, I mean, that is what it is. We want to talk about unemployment and how shitty it is, you know, and how the safety net's fucked. That's a left show gig.
Mm-hmm.
What we're talking about here is between 1970 and 2002, the amount of children living in two parent families declined from 85% to 69%, while the share of those living in single parent families experienced a more than twofold increase from 11 to 27%. Estimates now project that more than 50% of all children in the United States will spend all or part of their childhoods in single parent families. At the same time, a consensus has been growing among family scientists that children do better on almost every measure of well-being when reared by their biological parents. In response to this research, policymakers began to turn their attention to programs that might help families stay together through the strengthening of the couple's relationship, and in particular, the strengthening of low-income couples who have at least a child in common.
Hmm.
We don't.
We don't, know.
But we're trying to integrate.
Yeah.
Now, our families are a little oil and water.
Are they?
And from time to time, we shake them up, and they mix for a little while, and everything like a good Italian dressing tastes nice. And then you leave them alone for a minute, and they all go back to their separate components. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, it's not insulting to anybody.
No.
No. Our kids are just vastly different from one another.
They are very different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I find your kids entertaining,
mm-hmm.
and I find my kids entertaining.
Yes.
But it's the difference between sci-fi and action and adventure.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. You know what I mean? So when low-income families are sometimes referred to as fragile families, the term fragile refers to the precarious situation of the couples, both economically and relationally. That was a fucking word. I don't think I've ever said that word before. And relationally compared to other families. What this all boils down to is the phrase, the working poor, which was a smaller segment years ago and is now a much, much bigger and growing segment of American families. I can't speak for families in other countries. I don't fucking know. But here, we're seeing poverty become what the middle class used to be. Being poor is not about not having enough money per se. Sometimes factors come together to produce what we commonly call poverty, chronic shortage of money, accumulating debts, low levels of literacy, which we don't have. We are quite literate.
Very much so.
Yeah. High rates of unemployment and underemployment. I got both of those. Incarceration, not this week. Substance use. It's legal. My doctor gave me a prescription. Depression, yes. Domestic violence, not us. Not us.
No.
Not to say it hasn't been. We haven't both been in abusive relationships in our life. We certainly have.
Yeah.
But right now.
No.
No. I have done my best to learn as many lessons as I can on all the mistakes I've made throughout my life to where I finally become a very good partner emotionally in my fucking 50s.
Just for me.
Just for you.
Yeah.
But in my 50s, it took to pull my head completely out of my ass in a relationship way. Because as much as I, you know, have talked about my previous marriage, you know, the truth is it takes two to tango. I was a bad husband. I was. I tried, but I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. And I took all those lessons to turn myself into a good husband emotionally and a poor husband financially.
Well, I just want to say, because I don't have the same feelings you do, obviously, about our financial situation. I will say that this in our relationship, this is the most financially secure I have felt.
Stable. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, really, it's been so different. I think having not worked in previous relationships and being completely dependent, to when we were together, I was working for the first time and getting my own money. And that felt a lot different with our,
how didn't that feel good?
It felt really good. And you've always just supported me with that and never questioned, like, how are you spending your money? How much did you spend here? What are you doing with that? You've never done that to me.
It's your money. I mean, it's yours. Why would, yeah. It's, if I've ever needed something or we've needed something that I know about, I've asked and you have come through mm-hmm. every single time. You know, you sold your car to help pay off debts and pay our rent. You know, you fucking show up. And that's important to me. And that is something huge. This is not the longest I've been unemployed in my professional life. It is the most difficult. And honestly, the reason that it was difficult was when we moved into the apartment that we had, we could afford it.
Mm-hmm.
Barely. But we could afford it. And then those fuckers raised the rent 15% every fucking year.
Over and over again.
Until it was more than we were bringing in.
Mm-hmm.
And so we finally had to leave.
Well, you're stuck because the thing is we could have gotten into another apartment that was cheaper that we maybe could afford. But to do the first month, last month's rent, the deposit, moving, all of that, like, we couldn't.
Well, and you know, more importantly, we had a kid in school. And stability is something that neither of our kids know very well.
Mm-mm.
And I know that we both wanted to provide her with at least some continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that all went to shit because public schools are sometimes pretty fucking bad, and I'm not going to talk about it. But, you know, there was less stability those last couple of years than there had been the years before.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's hard. It is difficult to operate day to day, to talk to not recruiters, but HR professionals when I do talk to them and sell myself, you know, as the be all end all solution to the fucking problem they're trying to solve. When deep down inside, I feel worthless.
Mm-hmm.
I feel pointless. I feel like I don't measure up. Constantly, when I am alone with my thoughts, they are quite rude. My thoughts are not kind. It's like one of the reasons that I listen to podcasts when I fall asleep is mm-hmm. because if I don't, I just sit there with my own thoughts, and my own thoughts are poison.
Yeah.
No matter what I take. So I obviously need to talk to a therapist. But guess what?
We have no money.
And that's really what it is. I did four sessions with a therapist that I was gifted from an organization last year. And the thing is people tell you that you need to go a few sessions before you know whether or not you like your therapist.
Right.
And by the time I knew 100%, there wasn't time to find another therapist. You can't just bounce to one for an hour and then you're done.
Right.
You know, I mean, but if anybody could totally heal their mental problems in one session, it'd be me.
It would be you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, those sessions, though, like, you didn't even that was more of learning like coping skills. It's not even like you were getting down and dirty with the, you know, past experiences.
Yeah. So a couple little facts. In the United States, the federal government defines poverty, the poverty line, as an annual income of $26,032 for a family of four. One adult, three children in 2010. Now, when you consider that there is no state in the United States, none, where a person with a full-time job at $15 an hour can afford a two-bedroom apartment. Mm-mm. No state. It is too expensive. Finance companies that have been buying homes and then pricing them out of reach of normal people have fucked up the market so much that you can't afford to live anywhere. Mm-hmm. Were it not for the kindness of friends and family, you know, you and I would be living in a car that we would have to move every night so it didn't get repossessed.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
And it happened so quickly. That's what's so eye-opening to me is how quickly, when you are right there with struggling with money anyway, how quickly it can change.
Oh, yeah.
And you're, oh, yeah.
It felt like a slow march just as things got worse and worse and our rent went up and up. You know, it felt like a slow march. But then you look at me losing my job in May and you getting laid off in...
Fired.
Well, sort of.
Yeah,
it's not your fault. You have epilepsy. And your boss, as far as I'm concerned, was a dick about your epilepsy and made sure to run you off as opposed to working with you until we figured shit out. It's not our fault. It takes a fucking year to get a new neurologist. Mm-hmm. It's not our fault. It's not your fault.
Yeah, but I mean, I am right there with you. And as far as like those beliefs in my head and listening to those voices, and they're not kind. I've been trying to do little things. I need little wins throughout the day. So I've been trying to do that, but yeah, it is hard.
I'm back in school for basically a fire hose refresh because I burned out in 2016 and started working at the comic book shop, and the comic book shop paid dipshit wages, dipshit wages, started at $8.50.
Oh my God. I forgot about that.
Uh-huh. But that's when we were only paying $1,100 for an apartment so we could come up with it. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. So, you know, the comic book shop paid shitty and made life a lot more scrambly.
Yeah.
You know, and I was constantly looking for other work, but it was also comfortable, knowable, and safe. Mm-hmm. And those wages went up as the years went by. The problem is I shouldn't have spent years doing that if I wanted to keep my career headed in the one direction. So the point when my burnout kind of took care of itself, because there's no other way to put it, or when I didn't let it drive the car anymore, you know, is I was now, I think when I started looking for corporate work again, I was 5 years out of my market. Hmm. And things had changed. And then, so I'm looking for work kind of half-assed while I'm working. And then when I got fired in May because of my knees, long correlation story there, but basically I couldn't do the job. There's a lot of squatting. There is a lot of squatting working at a bookstore or a comic book shop.
Yeah.
And my knees are bone on bone. And it just got to the point where I hurt so bad that my brain was all just squish an hour or two into each shift.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fucking up and making mistakes, you know? Charles was kind enough in May to let me pretend that I quit, you know? But the truth is he canned me, and he had every reason to. I can't defend that I was fucking up.
Yeah.
I was selling good, but as far as procedure went, I was stepping on my weenie almost every shift. So that made sense. That made sense. But you were working. But the problem is that you were working in a hostile environment that was being pissy about the fact that there was a medical condition you could not control. And we tried finding new doctors because, I mean, you were having 15, 20 seizures a day for months. It was nuts as fuck.
Yeah.
You know? And they put you on, what would they call it, the divorce pill?
Yeah, Keppra.
Keppra. And that fucked you up, and that fucked with your brain, and that just made everything squishy.
I know, my coworker, when we were talking about it, and I'm like, I'm going to be fired. She said, what changed? Like, you've done this job for so long. Like, what is it? What changed? Because you've done this. You're so good at it. I'm like, I didn't have an answer. I mean, it has to be the meds, because, or even having the seizures, it just messes with my head. I can't remember things, simple tasks. You know, I read something and it's hard for me to understand it. It's really frustrating.
Yeah, and the Keppra made that harder.
Yeah.
And the new pills seem to be working better. Your anxiety's way down. You know, you were spending time talking shit about yourself. There's a clinical term for that. I don't know. I'm sure. But you were saying mean things to me about you, which is very annoying. By
my
the
hair.
Way. What?
My hair?
Nothing about your hair.
Oh.
About your behavior, about not being able to concentrate, about feeling not yourself, about all your anxiety.
Yeah.
You would talk shit about yourself to me. Yes, you also talk shit about yourself with your hair. But your hair is adorable, so shut up. Jesus.
My Bob Ross hair.
Yep. So anyway, when it comes down to the $26,023 for a family of four, it works out to approximately be $12.51 per hour, or $5.26 per hour over the federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour. And it assumes that a person's able to work 40 hours per week for 52 weeks. Fine. I could do that, but I wasn't making enough.
No.
Nope.
And how do you do that with kids and childcare?
Well, a lot of the people that are setting policy right now grew up in those years of being unattended by our boomer parents,
mm-hmm.
and just think that everybody can do that. But the world's a lot different now than it used to be. It's a lot more crowded. It's a lot more dangerous. Yeah. We don't cut our kids loose and not worry about them till the sun goes down.
It is so true.
You know, we give a shit. We do. So going across the United States, we've got approximately 30 million people, 25% of the population, 26% in Oklahoma. Of the workforce age 18 and over are considered low wage earners. Of the 34 million working families in the United States, 20% are single mother households, 10% are single father households, and 70% are married couple households. Mm-hmm. Only 32% of people living at or below the poverty line own their own homes. 32%. Approximately 40% of working families or below the poverty line have at least one parent without a high school diploma or equivalent. And approximately 50% of poor families are headed by single women, and another 9% are headed by single men, meaning that 59% of poor families are single parent families with only one wage earner. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, one full-time job will not get you an apartment in the United States right now.
Mm-mm.
Nope. Unless you are all by yourself and live far away from any sort of an urban base.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, we could probably get an apartment down here on our old wages and be more comfortable than we were when we were living in Salt Lake, but we were both working in Salt Lake. And how much of that extra money is a drain thrown into commuting?
Mm-hmm.
Both gas, oil, and keeping your fucking car running.
And time.
You know, it's I'm starting DoorDash now and probably Lyft, and that's going to fuck up my car. What am I going to do when that car fucking breaks?
Yeah.
I know it's going to fuck up my car. That's why I've been trying to get it fixed in little pieces as we go, because I don't really have a choice at this point. There's no fucking alternative. I got nowhere to fucking wiggle. You know, I'm just going to keep throwing resumes out 2-3 hours a day, and then I'm just going to go deliver food to people who are going to undertip and be assholes. You know what I mean? No. I mean, it is what it is. We have to take care of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what that means now. It means I got to go sit in a car. I got to be uncomfortable. It means I'm going to fuck up my back even worse than it already is. But it is what it is. I got to be able to do this so that we, well, so that I quit publicly humiliating myself looking for help. You know?
I don't think you
would. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
It is really hard. It's really difficult to accept the help and admit that you need it.
Yeah.
It's very humbling.
I'm not good at it. It makes me, while I feel huge emotional reactions, positive emotional reactions when people help us out, it diminishes my feelings of worth, you know, my feelings of relevancy. And I mean, it's just the culture that we live in. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, you've got how many working professionals right now are those fucking grinders, you know, that'll do their 8 hours and then work another six. I did that in the job I had in 2016. The one that burned me out is I was working 18 to 20 hours a day. I was barely sleeping.
Yeah.
And it went on and on and on and on and on. And then I got stabbed in the back several times in one morning. It was a brutal morning, you know, and it was by people that I had fucking elevated into positions where they could grow their careers and become better earners. And they just turned around and fucked me mm-hmm. pretty hard and not in a good way. No lube.
No.
And that was it for me. I was like, I can't fucking do this anymore. I've got to find something dipshit I can do for a couple of years to just get my mind back together. Mm-hmm. And then I turned that into something else. And then that bit me in the ass when my body gave out on me, because as I mentioned earlier, I'm old now. You know, my knees hurt all the time.
They make a lot of noise too.
It sounds like ratchets as I walk down the stairs.
I know it does.
It really does.
I feel so bad.
Yeah, they hurt. They hurt all the time.
I feel really bad when I ask you to go get me milk downstairs too.
You don't feel that bad.
I mean, I still do it. You still let me do it. I feel a little bad.
Approximately 50% of poor families are headed by single women, and another 9% are headed by single men. We covered that. That's 59% of poor families are single parent families with only one wage earner. They often live with a sense of hopelessness or helplessness. There's a feeling that what they do doesn't really matter, is of little worth. When they do work, there's little to no chance of promotion. They're often taken advantage of by unscrupulous employers without the resources or skills necessary to defend their rights. Yeah. I can't. I would love to sue about you getting canned, but we can't afford a lawyer for it. I've talked to two lawyers. I've reached out with the prospects of your case, and they're both like, nah, too hard.
Yeah.
Too difficult in Utah, you know, to prove wrongful termination.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll pass. Can't find a guy that'll work on a contingency, which you would hope would be, but labor attorneys are not fucking ambulance chasers. You know, they're just not. So, I mean, that's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to find a way to sue the kids that got me fired from my last job in 2016.
They were kids. That's what pisses me off.
They just got together and ganged up, talked shit. Mm-hmm. I am really, really dancing on the edge of my NDA right now.
Yeah, how long do you have on that?
It's eternal.
It is?
Yep.
You signed that?
I needed the money. I needed my severance.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I needed it. I mean, I was desperate for it. Mm-hmm. It was, you know what? There's a long story. If anybody listening wants to hear the story of why I needed that severance so bad, talk to me. I'm not going to record it. That's rude. But I'm certainly not going to lie about it. I know exactly what the fuck happened. And it was not my fault.
Relationships and money are complicated.
They are something like that. They are often suspicious of anyone perceived to be in authority position. Not really. Maybe a little. I don't know. That one's tricky. And the problems produced by poverty are interlocking and addictive. For practically every family, then, the ingredients of poverty are part financial and part psychological, part personal, part societal, part past, part present. Every problem, Every problem magnifies the impact of others and are so tightly interlocked that one reversal can produce a chain reaction with results for distant from the original cause. That's what happened to us this summer.
Mm-hmm.
It just, one thing happened, and then that caused two more things to happen, and then more bad things happened, and then more bad things happened, and then the next thing you know, we're fucked.
Yeah, big yeah. time.
And that's how we ended up. The other thing is that being poor is expensive. Most of the working poor see income tax as something they receive and not something they pay. However, it costs a fee to have their taxes done. Another fee if they want to file electronically. Another fee if they don't have an account in which their refund can be directed and direct deposited. Altogether, fees may run away from anywhere to 5% to 25% of their refund. So anytime you have a tax refund. Now, the worst thing was for me is I was high in a low tax bracket.
Mm.
You know? And even though I put zero exceptions, I still owed money at the end of every year because I made so little. Because I made so little money, I owed money at the end of every year.
I'm so fucked up.
It's super fucked up. You know, and my kids were all grown, so I couldn't claim any of those. And basically my ex-wife stole custody because by the time I got divorce papers signed, the kids were over 18.
Mm-hmm.
It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating. If you don't have a bank account, which is something that I am right on the verge of.
I don't think I have one anymore.
Yeah. You have to pay a fee to cash a check.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a bank account, if you can't direct deposit, though there are some alternatives out there where you can hook up a direct deposit. Tricky. It's just tricky. Poor credit and no credit means they have to pay more for something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a car loan or a house loan, car insurance, if they can get a loan at all. You know, that was one of the things I found out over the last few months is that, you know what? No, that one's personal. I'll leave that one alone. If you want to know, give me a call. You know. So yeah, because of an inability to save and the timing of bills, they're often forced to pay late fees or reconnect fees to get their services turned back on. That's happened. I mean, how many times do we lose the fucking internet? And the internet is crucial for my freelance work.
Yeah.
Without internet, I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that this makes any money. This is just something I do on Sundays when I'm not working.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lack of medical insurance means that often physicians will not accept them as a patient. Then they have to go to the emergency room for treatment, which costs a fuck ton more than a doctor's visit. And if you don't pay that bill, then your credit record's fucked up. Closing the door to economic advancements such as home ownership. We both have that problem. We both have medical debt.
I have so much medical debt. And that is exactly because I could not afford to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Or to go to specialists. And so I'd end up in the ER.
Yep. Yeah. It's nuts. The article goes on. We cover skills and education, living conditions, mental health. The working poor in general, and especially poor women, are at greater risk for depression, domestic violence, and sexual abuse. Tobacco, alcohol, and other drugs, and other drug use are also more common among the poor. We've managed to avoid that, personally,
mm-hmm.
which I think is nice. You know, though a little drug use probably wouldn't go too far awry. You know what I mean? Research reveals that the working poor will leave an employer, not because of the low pay, but because they didn't feel needed, necessary, or wanted. A basic human need of being valued often goes unmet. And the poor may jump from job to job, unconsciously working and looking to fulfill this need. Poverty is often not only a financial matter, but one of discouraged loneliness, which is how you felt towards the end of your job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I did not. I was just in a ball of pain. I couldn't see through it, you know? And now that I've been off the concrete floors for a few months, my knees still hurt, but, you know, my thoughts are clearer.
Yeah.
My articulation's better. I think the shows are better than they were then, because back then it was just force it, make it work, get it done, move on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now it is the same. And that's because my motivations are low and my depression is high.
Freaking Adderall.
It's not so much pain anymore. Oh, and yeah, not having any fucking Adderall.
Yeah.
That's frustrating. I had no idea. I am, I don't know that addicted is the right word, but very dependent on Adderall and meloxicam. Meloxicam is my arthritis drug.
Mm-hmm.
I have had arthritis since I was a kid. You know, so does my youngest.
Mm-hmm.
Just covered in arthritis. And I was too. And it hurt. And I remember complaining about pain to my mother when I was a kid. And she kept saying, "You're not old enough to feel that. You're not old enough to feel that. You're not old enough to feel that." Over and over and over again. When my folks split and I told my dad, "Dad, I hurt. And I hurt a lot. And I hurt all the time." He's like, "Let's go see a doctor." Different parenting styles.
Right.
You know? You would expect my dad to be the rub some dirt on it, walk it off. But a lot of that kind of bullshit was flipped in my childhood. What else have we got? Low self-esteem and self-efficacy have been linked to problems such as not contacting their employers regarding an absence from work. This is probably because they don't think they're important enough to matter.
Hmm.
I haven't had that one, but I've seen that with people that I've worked with before. You know, especially when you're making $8.25 an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Why would you stay if you were offered $9? I left the comic book shop for almost a year to go make $12 an hour. When I went for the photographer.
Oh, right. Okay. I couldn't remember that.
Yeah, downtown when I got in all the scooter accidents.
I got hit by a truck.
I did get hit by a truck.
I remember walking you across the street.
Yeah, it was very funny. Ha ha ha.
So you wouldn't get hurt or hit by a car.
Basically, being poor can fuck up your head.
I mean, you're in survival mode constantly. That's so bad for your body and your mental health.
Yeah, it really is. Survival mode's a bitch.
Yeah.
All right, look, let's take a little break. When we get back on the other side, we're going to talk about some things to avoid about money when you're poor and in a relationship. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Outstanding.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Have we ever argued about money?
No. No, we really haven't. Part of that, I think, is we've both had, unintentionally, not on purpose, boundaries between, you know, mine, yours, and ours.
Mm-hmm.
Your money's your money. I have no right to that. I really don't. You know, why would I make a thing? I broke down for you one time. These are our bills. This is what our monthly is.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I need the contribution to be. And this is me. This is all me because I don't think you know this. I paid more a month between rent and bills than you did.
Mm-hmm.
And not because of any other reason than the number that I needed for both of us was in my head too big to ask for. And it was. It was because in my head, your job was paying our medical insurance. And therefore that money was being taken out of your check every 2 weeks. And I was like, well, then I cover more of the day-to-day bills because you're covering our medical expenses. And that made sense. Does it not?
No.
Okay.
No, because I mean, I want you to be honest with me, and I feel like we're both in this spot with each other where we are very generous. It's not like what's mine is mine.
Yeah.
We'd both be willing to give each other anything, everything we could.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like territorial of my money, or like I can't spend it, or I can't, you know, I don't feel like that.
I get that. And I just, I am coming to this awareness right now, sort of into my conscious brain from my subconscious brain. And I'm as surprised as you are that this is my behavior, you know? But that's it. It's like when we got done paying for bills, we didn't have anything left over, you know? So to me, there was just never more to pull. And what were we paying? $400 a month on fucking health insurance, if not $600 a month?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a lot, you know, for our little family.
It was not so little. There's a lot of us on there.
Yeah, it's true. That is true. But no, that's just, I mean, that's just kind of how I processed it. But I mean, this comes down to number one, avoiding financial conversations. Talking about money isn't always comfortable, but avoiding it won't make financial issues disappear. Too true.
This was me.
Yeah.
And it still is me. I don't like to talk about bills and money and finances because it overwhelms me and I feel hopeless. But in other relationships, I really... I was not a part of the money or the budget or any of that.
No.
I got married so young. I'd never had a bank account. I didn't know how to do those simple things. And so I've learned a lot, and it does feel so much better.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Having that. You helped me a lot with that.
Aw. Look at me.
You took me to get my first bank account.
I did. It was very important to me. I mean, there is a certain autonomy and freedom that comes with having control of your own finances, you know? And it's one of the things that has led to the depression I'm going through now, is that I have no control over any financial situation whatsoever. You know, I'm still in begging mode. I still need help. I came whisper close to a job in August and didn't get it, and it fucking broke me because I really thought I had it, and they acted like I had it, and then they picked someone younger, considerably younger, so without all of my experience, they could pay them a shitload less than they would have had to do, and they think they would have had to pay me, whereas I'm like, pay me whatever, just give me a fucking job,
right?
You know, oh, that wouldn't be fair. It's like, fuck fair.
I just need something.
I just need work. So yeah, too many couples will wait until there's a problem before discussing finances, and by then emotions are going to be running high. I do that. I keep thinking, I can fix it. Fuck, I can't fix it.
And that's so much stress on you, and I feel bad because it shouldn't all be on you. Like, it's a partnership.
Yeah.
And it should be on me too, and it's not. I don't take that on.
Well, there are ways that you can work on it, that I can work on it. We can have a monthly check-in to review goals, spending, and any upcoming expenses. Set short-term and long-term financial goals together so that both partners feel involved. And approach conversations without blame. We do that. We don't blame each other for anything. Well, I do blame you for some stuff.
Like what?
Drinking milk way too fast.
I blame you for leaving sugar packets all over the place.
Not anymore.
I found some today.
Where?
On the counter.
Oh, you sure they weren't yours?
No.
Because I've been throwing mine away lately.
They might have been mine.
Number two, hiding financial debt. They call this financial infidelity.
This is crazy. And I know friends who do this. Like, they've had credit cards and like other accounts that their partner doesn't know about. That's wild to me. Seems very wrong.
Yeah. I've done it to you.
No.
No, I really have. I've got at least one high interest credit card I just don't think we've talked about. I just did it on it. We needed to pay some bills.
Yeah.
And there's at least one high percentage loan that I have that I'm paying off every month that we didn't talk about either. I took that one out for the wedding, you know, and it was just like, we have $1,800 in expenses. We're both employed. We'll be able to pay this back. No big deal, you know, and now it's cratered my bank account and I'm fucked. And honestly, what it comes down to is it's basically like $5,000 would save our lives right now. Mm-hmm. Would absolutely change our entire fucking fortunes. You know, it would give us enough to get caught up to make sure our bank account's done, that the car's all paid up, you know, that our insurance is paid, and would give us the wiggle room to not only pay for where we are, but to feed ourselves. For with $5,000, I could do that for about 4 months, maybe five. And in that time, I can find ways to make money and hopefully, you know, a good full-time job or two bad full-time jobs.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know.
I don't know what to do either, because I'm thinking I need to go and work, but then my disability, I can't work and do the and apply for disability. So,
well, that's your epilepsy still not under control. I mean, that's the thing is, yeah, we found a pill that makes you less anxious, less confused, less foggy. But I mean, if you don't mind me saying, and I can erase this if you want, you had a seizure just the other day. Big one. You were on the floor when I found you.
I haven't told anyone that.
Oh, hey, guess what, everybody? But yeah, I mean, it's still an issue. You can't go work at a restaurant if you're going to have seizures. You can work in an office and have seizures if everybody's cool with it.
Right.
Because the first time I saw you have a seizure was when we were working together in 2016, and it scared the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
You know, because I had no idea. But I mean, I obviously don't like your seizures. You obviously hate them, you know, but they are a huge part of your life right now, because we have not been able to afford to get you the care that you need to, I don't know if you'll ever have a handle on it completely.
I hope so.
Yeah, me too.
It overwhelms me to think that.
But it's like, we met with one neurologist. He gave you a shitty pill that a year and a half later, when we finally got another neurologist, was like, why would he give you that? Nobody uses that pill anymore.
I know.
And it's like, well, probably because he was a doctor's assistant. He wasn't even a real neurologist.
Because it took so long to even just to get into him.
Oh, yeah. It took 7 or 8 months to get that guy. You know? And then we started looking and everybody's like, nope, we're full. So we found the guy up at the U, and we've only been able to see him once.
Yeah. But he was much better.
Oh, he was great. He thought I was funny. So he's obviously a man of action. So things that we can do to work on this are, be transparent about money all the time. Even if you're embarrassed, honesty builds trust.
Well, I always tell you when I save money.
Have we had that conversation?
And I'll say, look how much money I saved.
No. Girl spending. Girl math.
It was 50% off. I saved so much money.
Yeah, yeah. If you've made financial mistakes in the past, address them now rather than waiting for your partner to find out. We've done that. We've absolutely covered that one. If money secrecy has already caused issues, consider financial counseling to rebuild trust. Well, going back to the poverty part, I can't afford financial counseling. Though I do take it from certain friends that are doing better than I am. This one, rushing into a joint account too soon?
We've never had a joint account.
Nope. No, well, kinda. Before you had a bank account.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we needed to switch your bank account from the shitty bank I took you to.
Oh, you're right. Or you're right.
And so you direct deposited into my account for about 4 months.
Yeah.
That's as close as we've come to a joint account. Because why do we need to? We just send it back and forth. Fucking Venmo.
True.
Easy. Easy, easy. So yeah, some couples assume that combining finances immediately makes a relationship stronger. But the reality is that without clear discussions about spending habits, money priorities, joint accounts can just cause some friction.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So... Yeah, it says use a hybrid system, keeping personal accounts for individual spending and a joint account for shared expenses, like rent, utilities, and groceries. Have a clear plan And if you're unsure about merging finances, wait until your financial trust has been completely taken care of, been fully established.
I think it's really hard once that trust is broken financially to ever get that back.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's one of the reasons I'm glad we're open with each other the way we are, you know?
In a previous relationship, it was brought to me like, oh, let's make this investment. And I did not feel good about it. And I didn't want to. And I said, no. And it was made anyway. Thousands of dollars that was like my money was decided for me. And it was like just so upsetting.
Yeah.
And there's no coming back from that.
No. Struggling to earn enough without a plan to improve. While money isn't everything, financial strain can add pressure to any relationship. Unexpected expenses, job loss, limited income can create stress, resentment, feelings of imbalance if one partner feels they're carrying more of the financial weight. We've struggled to earn enough, but it's never turned into conflict for us.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever fought about money, really. I can't think of any time.
No. No, so some creative ways to work on that are create a financial growth plan together. Finding ways to increase income gradually, side gigs, shit like that. Consider side income opportunities or passive income streams to reduce dependency on one paycheck. I'm trying to do that, but the market is flooded with unemployed people right now. It's hard. Yeah, you know,
it is.
And if money's tight, focus on budgeting and cutting unnecessary expenses rather than just increasing income. We don't spend a lot of money on stuff. Mm. We don't. We find other ways to spend our time when we don't have anything.
free activities.
Free activities. Activities that don't cost anything. Sex.
So much sex.
This is
so
the part,
much sex.
This is the part when any member of our family listening is like, oh, gross, and turns it off again. But yeah, no, that's a hell of a way to spend some time. Spend a few hours in the morning sending out resumes, spend a few hours doing school. What do you do after?
Sex.
You know, you can't just watch TV all the time.
No. You got to stay active.
Coitus. Using money to control or manipulate. We have both been victims of this in prior relationships.
Yeah.
Financial imbalance can easily turn into control when one partner holds all the financial power or is a dictator about it. Mm-hmm. Whether it's dictating spending. Oh, look at that. Using money as leverage in arguments or making major financial decisions without input.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, both habits create stress and imbalance in relationships. How to fix it? Both partners should have a financial autonomy, even when sharing expenses. Set clear expectations about spending decisions, especially for major purposes, and make financial decisions together, not unilaterally, not by yourself. Money should never be used as a weapon. And it has been in my life and in yours. Mm-hmm. We've both been beaten over the head with finances. So don't let it define your relationship. You're here in a relationship to support each other as best you can. You know, and being a douche is not helpful to the situation. Being upfront, being open, being honest, as you have accused me of. Sometimes I am too honest with the world.
It's just when I get texts about random stuff.
Look. We lost our waffle iron. I just needed to complain about it. I wasn't begging for a waffle iron. I'm fine without. I can make a pancake. You know what I mean?
Oh.
I just wanted some thoughts and prayers about my missing waffle iron.
Well, my mother sees your post and always has to like text me. My mother.
I do like your mother.
She is the best.
She really is. She's great. So we will revisit this again. This is not a topic that we're gonna ignore, but the truth is that everything is difficult. Everything is difficult, And if you talk about it and you're honest about it, you can share the difficulties. Two people shouldering a load is a lot easier than one person shouldering a load. So just open up, be fresh, be honest. You know, go dark if you have to. You know, if you feel the way I feel, your partner needs to know. I mean, I've basically told you about my feelings of inadequacy and worthlessness.
Yeah.
And you're always like, shut up.
That's what I say.
Yep, shut up.
Shut up.
Shut up. Do you have to? But that's it. That's where we're at. That's the show.
Well, I will say this.
Yeah.
There's no one else that I'd rather be poor with than you.
Because of the sex?
The sex is a big, big part of it.
You make me feel good when I feel bad, babe.
You make me feel good too.
Oh, great. All right. Well, let's call it a show. What we're going to do now is we're going to pop over to Patreon at patreon.com/DFEN Media, D-E-F-E-N Media, where every week that we record, we go over there and we record some special content for folks that are members of our Patreon family.
So fun.
Very inexpensive to get involved. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/DFEN Media, and you too can join our Patreon family. So that's where we'll be. And with that said, I love you, babe.
I love you.
All right. See you next time.